2 Timothy chapter 4, and when you are there, if you would, stand with me, and we'll read our text, Lord willing. We probably are finished with our study on the life of David, and so I want to preach to you a message I've been thinking about for some time now, a message that I've entitled Rough Preaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'll bless our service here this morning. Meet with us, and Lord, help us to understand that the only way anyone is going to be saved is through the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, when preachers come and step on our toes, when they crush our hearts with the words that they preach, may we not take offense at it, but Lord, may we receive it for what it is, instruction, rebuke, and exhortation that is meant to help us and to lead us back into a right fellowship with our Savior. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I preach this message. Give me utterance, empower me with the Spirit of God, and use this message to help your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Again, the title of the message is Rough Preaching. And before I preach this message, let me make just a few qualifications and say I'm not preaching this message because the preachers in our assembly need to be exhorted to preach rougher. If anything, the preachers in our assembly need to be exhorted to do just the opposite. I'm not preaching this message because I think all preaching should be rough preaching. Matter of fact, I'm of the opinion that most preaching probably should not be rough preaching unless you're preaching to sinners all the time. Because I think you'll find as I go through this message, when we find examples of rough preaching, and I'll define that here in just a moment, the preaching is being done to lost people, many times rebellious people. And you know, I for one, as a preacher, and just as a believer, have always found it much easier to be very pointed with people whenever they have openly rejected the truths of the Word of God. But I'm not preaching this message because, again, most preaching should be rough preaching. I'm not preaching this message to justify my style of preaching. Because those of you that are a part of this church and have been so for some time realize that the majority of my preaching probably would not be considered rough preaching. Instead, I'm preaching this message because many people, even Christians, think that rough preaching is wrong. And they don't think this because of what the Bible says. I believe that they think this because rough preaching bothers their conscience. What do I mean by rough preaching? I don't mean mean-spirited preaching.
Amen.
I don't mean preaching with a lack of love. And I don't mean preaching that insults and assaults individuals. I don't think that those things have any place in the pulpit. You know, there are some preachers like Peter Ruckman down in Florida who make it a habit to call people names, sissies, and things a lot worse than that. I don't think that that has a place in the pulpit. I don't think that that has a place within Christianity. The world is filled with sarcasm and insults, but I don't think we as God's people should let those types of things come out of our mouths. Okay, that's not what I mean by rough preaching. I've shared with you the story that I heard about Larry Brown, and I think Brother Hanley even told me that it is a true story. If not, you have to speak up. But, you know, when there was a couple of rather large ladies that got up and sang a special in miniskirts, I guess he didn't appreciate it. And so he followed after with his preaching, and he said that he was greatly enjoying the service until the two elephants in diapers got up on the platform. And, you know, that's humorous to a lot of people, but when I talk about rough preaching, that's not what I'm talking about. I laughed at that story, but I don't really think it's appropriate.
Right. Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe it got the point across to the two elephants. What I mean by rough preaching is truthful preaching, earnest preaching, straightforward preaching. I'm talking about preaching that preaches on judgment, preaches on repentance, that preaches against worldliness and sin. That's what I mean when I say rough preaching. And I want to give you some examples this morning in the Scriptures of men whose preaching could be classified as rough preaching. And the first such example that I see in the Bible is the man Enoch. Now, it doesn't tell us in the book of Genesis that Enoch was a rough preacher, but it does tell us in nearly the last book of the Bible, in the book of Jude, that he was such a preacher. Because in Jude chapter 1 and verse 14 it says this, "And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these," and it talks about the certain men who crept in unawares in verse number 4, "he prophesied of them, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him," that is, against the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, if you'll read the book of Jude there, you'll find that it tells us that the unbelieving Jews were judged in verse number 5 whenever they refused to go in and to possess the land of Canaan. It tells us also that the unbelieving angels, those that rebelled against God, they too were judged. They were cast out of their first estate.
Right.
They weren't allowed to stay there in heaven because of their rebellion. They were judged. It also says that Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, they were judged because of their fornication, because of their ungodly deeds. And what this book of the Bible is saying, just as all of those groups of peoples were judged, so shall the false teachers that have crept in unawares. So shall those that deny the Lord that bought them. Those that have went after God's people simply to get money.
Right.
That's the type of individuals that are in view there in the book of Jude. They're going to be judged. And so is everybody that doesn't believe God. Enoch, here, he was a preacher. And you know what type of message it says that he preached? He preached a message of judgment. He said to the people in his generation, "The Lord's coming. He's coming, and he's coming with his saints. And when he comes, he's going to execute judgment upon all." That's the kind of message that Enoch preached. A message of judgment. He's going to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. Boy, those aren't the type of words that you hear coming from the pulpits in America today. That the Lord is coming, and when he comes, he's going to execute judgment upon all. You say those types of things from your pulpit today, and the media gets a hold of it, you know what? They're going to say, "Boy, that's offensive. That's not very loving. I'm going to start a new fad in America, a new trend, where we don't judge words based on whether or not they're offensive, but whether or not they're true."
Amen.
Whether or not they're true. What Enoch was saying thousands of years ago was true. The Lord's coming, and when he comes, he's going to execute judgment upon all the ungodly. And the ungodly might not like to hear that, but that's what's going to happen. He comes to execute judgment. When preachers say these types of things, many out in the world criticize and say, "We're just trying to scare people." No, we're just trying to warn people.
Yeah,
And when somebody gets up and says the judgment of God is coming, we're going to stand before the Lord. It is not necessarily an attempt to scare people. But if it scares people, that's all right. Because the Bible does say it is a fearful. That means it's a scary thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a scary thing. And if people don't repent, they'll end up like the unbelieving Jews. If people don't repent, they'll end up like the rebellious angels. If they don't repent, they're going to end up like Sodom and Gomorrah and be destroyed. That's why preachers lift up their voice against sin. That's why they cry out to sinners that judgment is coming, because they want them to be warned. They want them to repent. If God spared not the angels, it says.
Right.
If God spared not the old world. If God spared not Sodom and Gomorrah. Those are the things found in 2 Peter chapter 2. Then what makes you think you'll be spared? Mm-hmm. If you disbelieve God. You know, Jonah was another preacher. Mm-hmm. And he too, like Enoch, preached a message of judgment. The Lord told him to go and to preach the preaching that I bid you. You go preach to those people what I tell you to preach. And he didn't want to initially, we know, but eventually God kind of forced him to. He figured it was better than getting swallowed by a whale again. So he went and he preached the preaching that God bid him. And he said, all we've got recorded of his sermon is yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's all we've got of his preaching. I'm confident that's probably all he said as he marched through that city. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and the judgment of God is going to fall upon this city. And we all know Jonah was not a preacher that was filled with compassion. He wasn't. When his critics charged him of being unloving, they were right. He wasn't being loving. He didn't love those people. He didn't want to be there. He didn't want to preach to them. And he was glad that they were going to be judged by God. Matter of fact, that's why he didn't go to begin with. Because he was afraid they would repent, that God would show grace and mercy to them. And he didn't want that. And you know, sometimes that's how preachers act when they get up in the pulpit. It's the judgment of God is going to fall upon you. And I hope it does. And you know what? I don't think that the account there in the book of Jonah ought to be used to justify that type of preaching.
Right.
Jonah was wrong in his attitude.
Yeah.
He was wrong to do things the way that he did. He was wrong not to have compassion for those people.
Amen.
God loved them.
Yeah,
and he should have loved them.
Amen.
But boy, those people responded to rough preaching, didn't they? The whole city repented. The whole city repented at rough preaching. I'm just saying that Jonah is an example of a rough preacher. He preached judgment is coming. And as a result, a whole city repented. The Bible does say that some need pulled out of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
On some you show compassion, making a difference, right? And others, it's not the result of compassion that causes them to be saved. It's pulling them out of the fire. It's scaring them to death. I said before, you know, I think different people sometimes need different styles of preaching. I kind of like the style of my home pastor, Pastor Hendricks. I don't know. I guess sometimes it's hellfire, brimstone. But most of the times it's just simple, plain teaching of the Scriptures. Verse by verse, word by word, phrase by phrase. And I learn and I grow that way. But there are other people in my family, my wife's family, they go down there, they're bored, I guess. Matter of fact, that's why I guess Tammy's family all ended up going up to where Pastor Hart was preaching. It wasn't just word by word, phrase by phrase, teaching of the Scriptures. It was preaching. He didn't just step on your toes, he jumped up and down on your toes. And there was a lot of people in our families that got right with God as a result of that. Me, if I would have went into a church and they jumped up and down on my toes, I probably would have left and not come back. I don't know. But that's not how Pastor Hendricks did it, and it helped me. But I tell you what, Just because we might not prefer that style of preaching doesn't make it wrong.
Amen.
There's examples throughout the scriptures of men that preached roughly. How about John the Baptist? Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Of course, we realize that perhaps one of the main ways in which we could categorize John the Baptist's preaching is with the word repent.
Sure.
When he came on the scene, he preached to the people to repent. But notice something else about his preaching here in Mark chapter 6. In verse 16 it says, "But when Herod heard thereof, he said, 'It is John,'" referring to Jesus Christ, "'whom I beheaded, he is risen from the dead.'" That's what Herod thought. "But Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John." Now it's given us a little bit of history of the types of things that went on between John the Baptist and Herod. And it says, "And he bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her." There's a lot said about this in history that's really not given to us in the scriptures. But here you had Herod who married his brother's wife. And history records that he divorced his own wife to do so. And whatever you think about this situation, it was considered inappropriate by God. Herod's brother was still alive. I don't know, maybe Herodias was still married to him. Maybe she divorced him, I'm not certain, to marry Herod. But for whatever the circumstances were, it was wrong. This was not right for Herod to do. His brother was still alive. He should not have taken this woman as his wife. And John the Baptist knew that. And that's why in verse number 18 it says, "For John had said unto Herod, 'It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife.'" It's not right. That's what he said. This is an adulterous relationship. It is not right. And you know what? That kind of preaching offended Herodias. She said to Herod, "You know what? You need to lock him up in prison, because I don't like what he's saying about me." And that's what Herod did. And she eventually asked for his head on a platter. And that's what happened as well. You know, maybe that's why a lot of preachers don't preach like John the Baptist. I mean, everybody seems to admire preachers like John the Baptist. Preachers perhaps like Enoch. Preachers like the other men we're going to see in just a moment. They admire a man that gets up and just straightforwardly preaches the truth and doesn't care about the consequences. People admire a man like that. People admire John the Baptist. Jesus said he was the greatest man ever to walk on the face of the earth. But yet not everybody chooses to be the kind of preacher John the Baptist was. Why? Maybe it's because they know that if they preach like John the Baptist, they're going to end up having their head chopped off. Maybe not literally, but symbolically. Maybe they understand that that's not the type of preaching that the world appreciates today. Well, it might not be the type of preaching the world appreciates today, but our text says preach the word, and that you need to be instant in season and out of season. I believe that means when it's popular and when it's not. I mean that regardless of the consequences, you need to preach the word. You know, I was listening to a message a couple weeks ago by Mike Allison, Pastor Mike Allison, and he was talking about preaching, and he was talking about how Jesus came to that rich young ruler. And he said, when Jesus came to that rich young ruler, being the omnipotent God, didn't he know exactly what was going to come to pass when he had this conversation with that young man? Didn't he know that his words would offend that young man and would cause that young man to go away sad, not being willing to give up his fortune? Yes, Jesus knew how that young man would respond. But Jesus said what he needed to say anyway. So many times people will say to me after things erupt at certain things I say, certain things I preach, well, you should have known that that was going to happen. Well, it wouldn't have made a difference. Not if I was preaching the Word of God. just because it brings forth negative consequences doesn't mean I should change my message.
Right.
Should John the Baptist have not told Herod that what he did was wrong because it cost him his head? You know, if John the Baptist were here this morning, I think he would say to us, I'd do the very same thing again.
Amen.
Yes.
Because it was the right thing to do. Here, John the Baptist, he just looked right at Herod. He looked at Herod's new wife and said, what you did is wrong. It's sinful. And we need that kind of preaching.
Yeah.
We need straightforward preaching.
Mm-hmm.
When the Pharisees came to John the Baptist to be baptized, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Can you imagine someone coming to a preacher, coming to a Bible-believing church, and they're interested in getting baptized, and they raise their hand, Preacher, I would like to get baptized. And the preacher says, you've got to be kidding me. You just get on out of here. You come back whenever you've demonstrated true fruit from repentance. I mean, the church would just be like, what? Well, maybe the preacher knew that individual. John the Baptist knew the Pharisees. He knew they were a bunch of hypocrites. He knew that they were just putting on a show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't going to allow them to taint his ministry, and he wasn't going to place his stamp of approval upon these men that he knew were vipers.
Yeah.
He said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance.
Yeah, right.
He says, think not within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Don't talk to me about your heritage.
Amen. That's right.
Don't talk to me about your religious zeal. God's going to raise up amongst these Gentiles a people that will serve Him and love Him because you don't.
Right.
That's the kind of preacher John the Baptist did. He's a rough preacher. He just told those old Pharisees the truth.
Right.
But that's not very loving. It was the truth. I don't know if it's loving or not. You know that the politician a few weeks back during President Obama's speech just blurted out, you lie. I don't think that is appropriate to do, by the way. But was it true? Was it true? Was what he is saying a lie?
Yep.
At least that did get some attention in that manner. Rough preaching includes condemning sin, just like what John the Baptist did. You know, when hypocrites came before him, you know what? He called them for what they were, hypocrites, vipers. When there was a man in the political realm that was guilty of adultery, was guilty of an inappropriate relationship, he just spoke up. I mean, I'm sure what Herod did made frontline headlines that day. It was one of the relevant events of that society. And John the Baptist spoke to it. Just like preachers should do today. When our president, former president Bill Clinton, was guilty of similar type things. You know what? I guess there was a lot of people that just wanted to sweep it under the rug. But no, men of God should have stood up and said, hey, that is wrong, especially for a public official, one that's overseeing our entire country. It's wrong. Rough preaching. Enoch was a rough preacher. Jonah was a rough preacher. John the Baptist was a rough preacher. But there's another one I want to look at. That's Stephen. Look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Stephen in chapter 6 is brought before the council. They accused him of speaking blasphemous words against Moses, against the Old Testament, which wasn't true. And as he's brought before the council, he's given the opportunity to defend himself. And that's what he embarks to do in chapter number 7. And through most of this chapter, you'll see that he recounts the history, or part of the history of the nation of Israel. And he does this to demonstrate to the council that over and over again, the Jewish people, the religious rulers, rebelled against God. They rebelled against God and not going in and taking the promised land. They rebelled against God when they made that golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai. They rebelled against God when they worshipped false gods. This is the history that Stephen is recounting for them. And then in verse number 51, he makes an application to this history and to what he's been saying. And he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." What's he say to these men? You never listen to God. The religious rulers of the nation of Israel have never listened to God, and you're following in their footsteps, and you're not listening to God. You're a stiff-necked people, he tells them. You got your hands over your ears, and you won't hear the truth. And you know, when he said that, they picked up stones, and they killed him. And they killed him. But again, we notice the type of preacher Stephen was. You stiff-necked people. What would you think if your pastor got up in the pulpit and said, "You stiff-necked people. You never listen to God." And then I pointed out how you don't. What would you think about that? Do you think that's just entirely too brazen? I don't know, maybe it would be. But maybe it would help you. Especially if you were a stiff-necked person. Especially if you were resisting the Holy Ghost. Stephen just spoke the truth. Spoke the truth. And they didn't like it. But he spoke it nonetheless. How about John the Apostle? The beloved Apostle. The Apostle of Love. Surely he wasn't a rough preacher, was he? Surely he was gentle. And he led people along like Barnabas. He's a nice guy. No, in 1 John 1:6, he says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie." You hear that? If we say, he said, if you all say, and even if I say it, that I have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, that is, I'm engaged in sin, I'm a liar. You're a liar. You can't be engaged in sin, practicing sin in your life, and have fellowship with God. That's not what I said. That's what the rough preacher John said. You can't be right with God and be playing around with sin. It's not possible. He said, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth his commandments, is a liar." That's what the rough preacher John said. If you say you know God, you've been born again, you've been saved, and yet you have no desire to keep his commandments, you're a liar. You don't know God. Can you imagine preachers across America getting up in their pulpits and saying that to their people? You don't know God. You can't be saved. Look at the way you live. Would people in most churches accept that? I doubt it.
You're right.
You what? When you say you know God and you watched his TV last night, you liar.
Right.
You say you know God and you walk around wearing mini skirts and trying to show half your breasts, you're a liar. You don't know God. Because people that know God don't act that way. John also said, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother, he's in darkness." You don't love brother so-and-so? Well, you must not be saved. Because saved people love their brothers. See, that's rough preaching. He says, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You love the world? You like American Idol like everybody else in the world does? Well, the love of God's not in you. I just love it to death. They're going to hate me the next time I preach in Grafton. They're all going to kick me off as their friend on Facebook. Because they're all so stupid, they put down their favorite movies. And I'm like, you knew that was there. Why would you ever invite me to be your friend and see that? People don't have any sense.
That's right.
All these favorite shows of theirs. What? If I was like John, I'd stand up in that pulpit and say, what, you like that trash that's of the world? You must not know God. You must not love Him. John, the beloved apostle, said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. He said, whosoever hateth his brother, he's a murderer.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's nobody more straightforward than John. He just tells it like it is. Matter of fact, I want to do another little study, preach another little message on all the people he called liars. Because he's always calling people liars. And you know, if I got up here and preached a message, you're a liar. Of course, it probably wouldn't happen in this church. But in a lot of churches, I'd get out from the pulpit and they'd say, you're not supposed to call anybody a liar. Well, tell John that, because he just called everybody a liar. How about James? Chapter 4, verse 4. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses.
Yeah.
That's a great way to... as far as I can tell, he was saying that to believers.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. He wasn't saying that to lost people. He was saying it to the people of God. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
Right.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
That's right.
If you're a friend of the world, you are the enemy of God.
Yeah.
You see, rough preaching condemns worldliness.
Amen.
But yet most of Christians today, they don't condemn worldliness. Instead, they condemn those who preach against it.
Yeah,
if you lift up your voice against inappropriate dress, against worldly music and worldly Hollywood movies, if you lift up a voice against tattoos and piercings and dating and prom and dances, if you lift up your voice against electronic devices like games and phones and internet and social networking sites, you're condemned! And yet the Bible condemns that type of thing. The Bible condemns worldliness. And men of God in the Bible, they stood up and they lifted up their voice and they said, it is wrong for you to be worldly.
Yes, sir.
It is wrong for you to love the things of the world. And if you do, you're not a friend of God.
That's right.
You're not a friend of God. I'm saying these men were rough preachers. And the Bible doesn't condemn them. These men preached on the very same things that Jesus did.
Right.
Jesus came, and from that time, it says, He began to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached on repentance. He said that if a man looks upon a woman to lust after, he's committed adultery in his heart. He says, if you put away your wife or any other cause in fornication, you've committed adultery. You caused her to commit adultery. Jesus preached on these things, the same things that John the Baptist did.
Right.
Jesus preached on the same thing that Stephen did, because Jesus looked at the people and He said, your heart is waxed gross,
yep.
Your ears are dull appearing, and your eyes you have closed. Jesus said that. Jesus said to the Pharisees that you are of your father the devil. He's the father of lies.
Yeah, that's right.
He said you're a liar. All of you are liars. Jesus, He preached against worldliness whenever He said if you were of the world would love His own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Jesus knew that those that truly loved and followed Him would not be the friends of the world.
Yeah.
Look with me at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. See what kind of preacher Jesus was. Verse 43. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell and into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not in the fire is not quenched. And I think most of you realize that Jesus repeats those words three times. The second time in verses 45 and 46, and the third time in verses 47 and 48. He talks about hell. He talks about it being a fire that shall never be quenched. a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's Jesus preaching on the subject of hell. Rough preaching. And he wasn't wrong for doing so. Enoch preached judgment is coming. Jonah preached judgment is coming. John the Baptist preached repentance, and he preached against sin, such as the sin of adultery. Stephen said to those that refused to believe that they were stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears. John the Apostle, he just simply called people liars when their words and actions were inconsistent. James, he preached against worldliness. I would classify all these men as rough preachers. I would classify their preaching as rough preaching. What do you think of rough preaching? Is it okay? Is it okay except when it addresses your sins? I mean, I'm speaking in generalities this morning. But what if I stopped speaking in generalities and I began to step on your toes specifically? How would you feel about that? How would you take that? You know, understanding what I preached this morning, still my words are oftentimes tempered. Though I say I'm going to preach the truth regardless of the consequences, sometimes when I know what the consequences would be, I don't know that I always say it as straightforward as I should. So what if I was to put this principle I'm preaching on this morning in practice the next few weeks and to preach on your sins? How would you feel then? What if I was to address specifically the sins of the people of Shepherdsville? I'd love to have a bigger church, you know, then you can preach and nobody know who in the world you're talking about is. I don't like to talk about the sins of Shepherdsville, everybody knows who I'm talking about. And I just don't know if that's right. But he would, again, I know most of you, preaching, we're for rough preaching. We don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I'm not talking that just about preaching against homosexuality. I'm not just talking about preaching against adultery, preaching against unbelief, or preaching against other people's forms of worldliness. What about our own?
Right.
What if I begin to preach on those things? What if I begin to preach on pride, hypocrisy? What if I begin to preach on our sins? How would you feel about rough preaching then? Hope you wouldn't change your mind.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, when we stand before the Lord one day, we're going to wish with all of our heart that we had heard more rough preaching.
Yeah, amen.
We're going to wish with all of our heart that somebody would have gotten our face and said, that is not right. Because that would at least have given us the opportunity to repent and restore our fellowship with the Lord rather than suffering the consequences at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know what kind of preacher Brother Schwenke's going to be next week. But you know what? If he comes in here and he preaches rough and he steps all over our sins, then you know what? We need to just say amen.
Amen.
If we have other preachers that come in here, or if this preacher right here gets in the pulpit sometimes and steps all over your sins, you know what? You just need to say amen.
Right.
That's right, preacher. It won't be because this preacher doesn't love you.
Right.
Because this preacher loves you.
Yes, sir.
I don't sit here for 9 years preaching my heart out because I don't care about you.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
Because I do care about you. And if the devil ever whispers in your ear and says the preacher's only saying that because he don't like you, he's lying.
Amen.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
That's not true. Rough preaching. It's all right sometimes to preach roughly. And you preachers, you just make sure you love people at the same time. You make sure you're preaching rough because you want to warn them of the consequences of their sins, of their unbelief, of their actions.
Because
there, I didn't exhaust the list of preachers in the Bible that preached roughly. We could talk about all the prophets.
You're right.
We could talk about Jeremiah and Ezekiel. We could talk about those men because they preached roughly. In the New Testament, Peter, he preached repentance.
That's right. Yeah.
These men preached the truth. Rough preaching needs to be commonplace in our churches.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be common, not a rarity. It may be considered rough to some for me to say that without Christ, you will die and go to hell. But it's true.
Yeah, right.
But it's true. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have not repented of your sins and trusted in His finished work on the cross of Calvary, you will die and go to hell. And that sounds offensive to some, but it is the truth. And so if you're not saved this morning, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you are saved, and you know you're not walking in fellowship with God, don't pretend like you are. Just repent and get it right. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the wonderful examples that we have in the Scriptures of men of God who stood up and spoke the truths of the Scriptures. And Lord, I pray that this church, until Your coming, would preach the truths of the Word of God, that we would do so uncompromisingly, and that, Lord, even the people of this church would not receive the type of preaching I'm talking about this morning with disgust, but, Lord, we would embrace it knowing that it's meant to warn and help us. So, God, take the message and use it this morning for Thy glory. Use it for the benefit of Thy people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me.